Perfectly Imperfect.
Hi, welcome to Perfectly Imperfect. My name's Ruth Aria. This week we're going to be speaking with a long-term friend of mine. I've known her since childhood, just to be transparent. Her name is Tepoha Kumata
B.
Often goes by the name of Deb, a wonderful creative. We're going to be speaking with her today about her process. Hi, Deb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I understand that you make bespoke dolls, these unique dolls that are handmade and no one is alike. Tell us about that.
Yes, so I sort of fell in love with fabric first, quilting and crafting and just getting to know what you can do with different fabrics. And then the dolls, I think, came about as I was a mother and I was looking at toys, you know, soft toys and just comforting toys, even around the ages when my kids were into Barbies and sort of the action figures. I just thought, I like the softer stuff. So I would sort of just make things that I thought, you know, my kids would like. So it sort of started there.
And the name of the dolls is really interesting. So tell us about that.
Okay, yeah. So I had plans to start a business. Well, I guess I did in a way. And I had no idea what I was going to call it. But I had all my, it was my first real bulk production. I had all my dolls ready to go and I was just really, really happy with them and my kids couldn't stop playing with them and I just looked at them all laid out there and I just, oh, look at my babies because they're all just so unique. And so Banabaka in my language means my children. So I just thought that I couldn't think of what else to call those dolls but my children.
Oh, and they are so beautiful. So when you say your language, you mean tell us what that means.
Okay, so I was born in South Africa and my mother tongue is Sesotho. There is sort of the main language there for if you're of African heritage would either be Zulu, Xhosa or Sotho, and my family predominantly spoke Sotho.
So that's right. And so I remember that with the creative process, you told me, you know, a little bit about that and how it makes you feel when you're making the dolls. Talk us through your process.
Okay, well, I do very much enjoy the process. I do everything by hand. The only stuff I'll do on a machine is any structural. So if I'm making a doll, I'll join the many pieces together by sewing machine, but everything else I do by hand and I enjoy that. I enjoy fine stitches. I enjoy changing colors of threads and matching, you know, and even just little tricks like disguise, you know, doing stitches that are invisible. And so that's an important process for me. The machine is excellent and is helpful, but it's not the same feeling at the end of a project if I've just done a majority on machine.
So you enjoy working with your hands. That's kind of the part that really lights you up.
Yes, yeah, it's almost like painting or drawing where you're controlling every stroke. So for me, every stitch is like a stroke of the brush or, you know, a stroke of the pencil. So
and so your dolls, I mean, they're so varied. They've got so many beautiful colours. They've got different textures. I mean, there's one doll that I've seen on your Etsy page which looks just like one of the female bouncers at my where I like to go out dancing. And that's the rockabilly doll. Like, she's just, they have so much character. They're so vibrant. They look really like, you know, obviously they're unique to you and no two are identical, which is really fascinating. Can I ask you about the personalities of the dolls? Like, how does that come into your mind when you start and you have, you know, just some pieces of fabric? What is it that makes that personality come to life in your mind?
More often than not, I'm inspired by what I don't see. So I'm terribly guilty of reinventing the wheel. I can do something that's already exists, but I just want to do it with my own twist. So I started with when the babushka dolls were all in a really huge fashion. And I thought, you know, they're gorgeous. And I know it's a Russian tradition, but I just have to make it different. So I actually started a series of international themed babushka dolls. And they also have their own name. I named them Mondi dolls, and that was for tout le monde, which is, you know, everyone or all the world in French. So I made a series of Mondi dolls. So it was exactly the same structure as a Russian babushka doll, but I made Japanese, Chinese, Indian, African. And again, it was just, I think for me, I look at things through, when I was a little girl, little African girl, I'd want to see something that I could relate to. And there was never anything. I mean, eventually Mattel made brown, you know, brown Barbies, but they're always little, you know, pale skinned cloth dolls with red hair or blonde hair, and I just thought, you
Yeah.
know, there's more of us in the world. So that's how that started. So then I went to the just a very standard rag doll, but I did the girls with short hair because I was a short haired child. I did girls wearing pants and shorts and just gorgeous, soft, very simple old style rag dolls, just the arms, legs, and a cute face. And again, just using different skin tones. So I stood there and looked at all the different calicos of, from fair to dark brown, and just thought there's a child for every single one of those dolls. There's a child that can relate to every single one of those dolls. And then I did the same with mermaids just recently. So they're my sisters of the sea. And each mermaid is from a different part of the oceans of the world. So again, representing a different culture. And that's me. It's not a political thing. It's not some sort of, you know, I'm not out on some mission. It's just how I work. It's just what I do. So yeah.
Yeah, I particularly love the idea of the dolls from all around the world and every sea of the world, every ocean of the world. That's just beautiful. See how your mind works like that. Yeah. I wanted to ask, is doll making part of your heritage?
Well, in my heritage, you pretty much had to make all your own toys. So, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I grew up with the boys just would get coat hangers and fangle, you know, cars out of them, aluminium, empty Coke cans. And the girls, we'd wrap up just bundles of our mum's, you know, old sheets and rags and make ourselves baby dolls. So, yeah, it's something that I actually didn't think of that, but it is something that just, it's what we would have done. Make it yourself if you wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of other Indigenous cultures that, with that older heritage, just making, whether it's out of sticks or cloth.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating to see that, like, you know, how they say necessity is the mother of creation, where how, you know, sometimes the most beautiful art can come from using things that were not for their originally intended purpose. It seems as though the nature of how they're made and they're so intricate and they're unique and no doll is the same, I would say it would appeal to collectors as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I did start. I hadn't finished, but I've got a real interest in rockabilly culture. And so I did start a series of sort of rockabilly type dolls, which were the model that I've finished as my sort of prototype is targeted for adult collectors. That's, again, very labor intensive, and it's quite expensive to put together those extra touches. So it was something that I wasn't able to delve into. But yeah, I definitely have an interest in that as well, to make collector dolls.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Look, that's so amazing. It's so wonderful to see your work. I remember hearing that you had created a way to for people to have your dolls and find your dolls online. I remember hearing something about an organization called Global Sisters.
Global Sisters looks at supporting women in getting their businesses going, but also supporting other women in business. And I just got to a point where I'd been trying to, I had my Etsy page, I had a Facebook page, but I really don't know enough about technology or marketing to sort of just start up a page and then watch the dolls walk out the door. So it was just this community of women who have different aspects of business know-how, or maybe the passion but not the know-how, and getting together to learn. And there was some sort of formal, sort of more structured courses that are on offer, and you sort of jump on and off board as you can. So for me, I was able to participate when I wasn't working. Now that I am working full time, then we participate sort of online, and it's been lovely watching other women's journeys, women who maybe, you know, have, especially new arrivals to Australia, who might have felt isolated, not a lot of English, but all of a sudden they found people who they can connect with, and now they've got these businesses online, and you don't need to speak and pronounce everything properly. You just do your craft, and that's what works. So that's what I've loved about the journey with the Global Sisters. And in the end, I mean, I'm not sure whether I'll be able to finish up with them, because you do need to be available, but it's been a wonderful springboard and a wonderful encouragement for me to get going.
Yeah, and do you have a page you'd like to give us?
I do have my own store on Etsy, which is just under the business name Banabaka Creations.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's Banabaka. That's B-A-N Finelli A-B-A-K-A, Banabaka Creations. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I hope that everybody goes to the Etsy page and checks out your beautiful handmade dolls. Deborah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.